Today's daf in Masechet Nazir, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Gimel. And we're holding right at the bottom of the Beis Amud Beis, because the last thing we said was that in the event that a person says, Ehena'eh, and he's holding his hair, then it must mean that he wants to have beautiful hair. Ask the Gemara, how could you call something beautiful if it's wrong? So the guy is saying ena'eh, he means nazira, milta da'avera, v'amrinan le'na'eh. Remember that what we spoke about yesterday, the idea of beauty, is that the beauty has to be something that's more than skin deep. We don't believe that we would call something beautiful if innately it's wrong. And since we learned before in the Dorim that kinidre rishaim, then it says nadar benazir. But kineid nidrek sherim lo amar klum. So that means that we're calling nazirus an avera. How could it be beautiful? Now there's another girsa which is really lovely. The other girsa the Rush brings is the na'eh referring to nazira milta, not milta da avera, but milta da avida. Amrinan le na'ah. The thing that he is doing, is that really beautiful? That's the point. It's weird. How can you call something weird nice? Anybody who's going around being a nazir is obviously a weirdo, right? So in what way do you call it nice? that would be this approach. It doesn't tie in very well with the Gemara's answer that comes. But I guess there's ways to fit it in. But the Rush suggests that it's possible. And the Gemara answers today on the top of Daf Gimel. In the truth is that we could call something like that beautiful. So the answer works out much more according to the approach that we're worried about it's being an avera. The afila the Rebbe Lazar HaKapar, the Omar Nazir Chote, because remember that the Mokar, that was the drasha of the Chiper Alav Measher Chata Al HaNefesh. So Rebbe Lazar HaKapar Omer Al Eze Nefesh Chata Zeh, just on the fact should sierat's moment ayayin, and that's why it's considered to be a chet. So we thought that meant that any nazir is ipso facto a chote, but that was a mistake. Hane mili gabi nazir tome, because that's really where it says me'asher chatal anefesh, where he's bringing a chatas on the fact that he was mittamei, and yet Rebbe Lazar HaKapar is pointing out that it's going back to me'asher chatal anefesh on the very fact of his naziras, which is strange. So what does it mean? Why was a nazir tamei more chote al nefesh? Because point is, the idea the boy mistar, the omer achmona v'hayamim arishonim yiplu. Remember that if a nazir becomes tamei, he has to start his naziras over again. Now that creates a big problem, because initially when a person is misha'er, that he's willing to enter into state of naziras for X amount of time, let's say the minimum time of 30 days, we don't consider him to be chotal anefesh because he obviously sensed in himself how much of this deprivation is really going to make him nuts. But then when he goes ahead and becomes tamei, and now he has to extend the period by redoing the naziras, counting from the beginning, and now he's suffering. And now he's thinking to himself, oh, heck, I never should have gotten involved in this in the first place. Which means that the etzem, he could really have been shoyel on this naziris now, because he doesn't really mean it. Now that means two problems. I mean, first of all, he's much more likely in these kind of circumstances, if he's not shoyel on his naziris, to actually come to be over on his naziris. And that would mean that there's an underlying acceptance of the potential of chet. And therefore, when he's going to come and bring his karbonas, it's going to be as if he's bringing chulin la'azara, because he doesn't really want to bring these karbonas. He's sorry about the whole situation. And basically, he's in one big mess. And a mess is asher chatal anefesh. I didn't really get anything out of this. I'm sorry I got involved in it. I don't want to bring in this carbon for. And indeed, a chatas like that is a deeper chatal anefesh. So since I did the boy mister, he's going to have to start over again. Yom rachmana v'hayamim harishonim yiplu. So there is where Rebbe Lazar HaKapar is ready to say that the whole thing is just a big mess. Avol nazir tohor, lav chote koribe. So this lashon of oti lemevar al nazirute, according to the Rishonim, is very, very loose. Because remember, we said in the Gemara back in Adorim, we said beferish kishei mitanim, v'ravina leim yemeituma mitchartim, v'nimtzu mevim chulin la'azora. Now that does not fit into the language of Asi Lemevar al Nazirute. That's why I'm being mefarshit in this way, that it's coming at you from multiple angles, that this whole thing is just not pleasant. It's not normal. That's the point, in which case it would fit in, even according to the Rosh's other approach, that you don't call something weird something nice. But that means that if things work out and everything is okay, then it's okay, it's acceptable. Okay, the next case that we had in the Mishnah was Areni Kazeh. I want to be like this. Now, Areni Kazeh, how in the world would that mean that he wants to be a Nazir? I mean, if it's talking about still the case that he's holding on to his hair, so what does he want to say? I want to be hair. That's a brilliant statement. What does it mean? Ni'inami the toughest bizarro. I mean, he hasn't said lo amar klum, it should say, probably. Areni kazeh, lo amar klum. Even if he's holding on to his hair, he's not saying very much by saying he wants to be hairy. Omar Shmuel. No. This case is really referring to a nazir walking in front of him. And in that case, we will accept that areni kazeh means he wants to be someone like this. Now, even though someone like this might mean this guy is rich, I'd like to be like that. Or this guy is very handsome, I'd like to be like that. But it has nothing to do with his aziras, maybe. But the point is that we're considering that to be yadayim, and yadayim derem l'chayavot in this case, because that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that the very fact that Nazir b'zorei v'lefonav, saying hareini kazeh is sufficient, which means, by the way, that just saying hareini, which you would think, is a translation of the word ehe, that hareini would be enough. The Mishnah is telling us, by the way, that hareini is not enough, and that hareini is not as powerful as ehe, because ehe is the normal way of referring to taking a state upon oneself. Ehe, nazir. Hareini is a rather strange way of saying, because it's saying, behold, I am. I mean, that's not the same as accepting it upon yourself. And therefore, it's less likely to be on its own to say ehe is the equivalent of hareini. That's not true. So for hareini, you would need hareini kazeh, even where another is over lefonav. Now, how about where a guy says hareini misalsel? Before we get into these sugyas, I want to just apprise you of a major difference between the sugya of Nedarim and the sugya of Nazir. Now remember that the first part of the Masechet, which is a reference of the way in which your words, which are based on the Dinim of Nidrei Isser, allow you to take upon yourself a state of Naziris, which is then defined by the Torah. And that means that essentially we're comparing the Dinim of Lindor, Neder, Nazir, Lahazir, we're comparing them to each other, is not strictly true. And it's because of that that we're going to see that we have higher standards of understanding by the case of the Nazir than we do by Nedarim. By Nedarim, our Yodais allow us to be very, very loose in the acceptance of a Neder. Why is that? Well, it's because we were Mechalik, remember, back in Nedarim, that Stam, if somebody makes a Neder, then the definition of it goes Lahachmir. Masha'inkein, if it's a suffix in Nizirut, it goes Likula. Now, why is that? It's really very simple. As the Gemara defines over there in the Dorim, a person definitely does not want to allow himself to get into a situation where the suffix is worse than the Vada. If this guy gets caught up in a suffix Naziris, what's he supposed to do? He can never get out of that Naziris. He has to be machmir on the Nazirut, because if you're telling me it's a suffix dioraita, so then that means he's not going to be able to drink wine, not going to be able to be metamei lemeitim, not going to be able to get a haircut. Okay, so what does he do? Nothing. He doesn't have anything to do. He can never end his Nazirus, because since it was a suffix, and there's no way for him to bring his karbonas, his nazirus never ends. Therefore, it's clear that no one's da'at would be willing to say something that will land him up in a pickle like that. And therefore, we have an umdana that he does not mean something that might be nazirus. So either we're clear about the fact that we see it directly related to the nazirut, or we simply cancel it. And that's not something that we have by Nidorim. Therefore, we have a higher standard of understanding the nature of the language to the Naziris by Naziris than we would have by a standard type of neder, where the person himself would be more likely to utilize loose language. And that's why we're so makbid over here, to be able to trace not only the circumstantial evidence. When I say circumstantial, I mean it in the sense and being dependent upon circumstance, not the way that it's used judicially. So that the idea is that the context will be sufficient, does not necessarily apply as much by nazir as it does by neder. We need to also have a clear indication of the language of the naziris. And therefore, when somebody says hareini misalsel, the hareini misalsel, it's all very nice for us to start talking about, well, the circumstances, there was a nazir ivor lefanav, but that's not so poshut, because the word misalsel has to be a reference to the nazirus directly. Where do we see that silsul, which means curling around, but not curling in the sense of hair, but rather twisting around, being involved in something, being mahapech in something, which could mean a lot of things. What?
Tousling one's hair, T-O-U-S,
no. Tousling? No. I'm trying to explain why it might not be nogea hair at all, and you're bringing me more hair. So the idea of ma'apech would be like we would find in the Mishnah, hafoch ba dekulaba, right? So what does that mean? Keep twirling around your ideas. Let your mind play with these ideas, and you'll find everything in it, right? So how do I know that the silsul in that sense is more of a reference to hair? Well, remember the old story about the ama in Rebbe's house? One of the guys in the yeshiva would always be playing with his hair, and she was the mashgiach, basically. So she yelled at him, how long are you going to keep playing with your hair over here? Ad matay ata misalsel b'sa'arecha. Now, Lamaisa, the Gemara brings this story as lo have yade rabbanan ma, when the Torah says salsaleha v'teronimecha, that if you are misalsel with your Torah, then it will uplift you. So they didn't understand what that meant. After this story, they understood it, that it means to toss it around, curl it around, play with it. So that is the way it was brought initially in that context. But meanwhile, we see that we use the word misalsel. We bring a riot from Amsa de Rebbe, amazing, that we use the word misalsel to be talking about someone who keeps curling his hair or playing with his payas, which is a very common kind of thing. People, as the Rebbe will tell us, right? If people have long payas, they're always putting it around their fingers. You got to do something with your payas. There you go. So I know now what silsel is, but why assume that it has to do with hair? Ema Torah, why not think that the guy is saying, I want to become a misalsel in Torah, tichtiv salsaleha utrom mecha, that if you are going to toss around the Torah a lot, it will uplift you. So isn't that a beautiful way for a person to say, I want to be a Talmud Chacham? It's stunning. Omar Shmuel, you're absolutely correct. We have to be talking about a case over here also, where he was holding his hair, and he's saying, Areini misalsel, in which case, why would he be holding his hair if he's referring to Torah? And that way, we can say that the salsala is sufficient. Fine. So in this case, the Rosh makes a very important point. Even if a nazir would be walking by, it wouldn't help in this case. We can't get back to our standard explanation of contextual meaning. That's because, again, the terminology when it comes to nazirus is far more definitive and essential than the contextual possibilities are by standard and norm. And therefore, since our doubt is in terms of the terminology, you cannot combine context with terminology unless the terminology relates to the context directly. So first I need to show that there is actually a silso basar. It's not going to help that we happen to have a nazir in front of me, because, okay, but what does a nazir in front of me have to do with silso referring to sar? So that is still going to be necessary for me to say, I'm holding on to my sar. This becomes rather a yesod of the difference in terms of nedarim and nazir. How about if somebody says, Areni michalkel? We said that's also. Now, I mean, look, it's true that we could use kilkol in terms of sar. Where do we use kilkol in terms of sar? In the Mishnah and Shabbos. It says over there, how much seed would you be chayav on if you carry it out on Shabbos? What's the shear for seed? So seed, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kidei lasud kilkul. And Rav explained, what is that? What is kilkul? It's a reference to a twist of hair on the forehead, on the temple, actually. But that means that we're using the word kilkul as something that would be removable by a depilatory, which is sid. So obviously, it has to do with hair, says the Gemara. But, I mean, certainly kilkul is not specifically a reference to hair, is it? I mean, maybe it means to be mezin. Maybe it means to give tzedakah. After all, we find that by Yosef HaTzadik, it says, Vayechalkel Yosef et aviv et echav, and over there, he was giving them their parnasa, and it calls him Vayechalkel. So why can't it move mean that over here? Omar Shmuel, you're right. What we'll have to say is that he was tofes b'sa'aro, and therefore he's using kilkul specifically as it is meant to refer. Thank you, Elroy, that it's referring to hair. Now listen, guys. This is another one of those sneaky Gemaras. Yosef used to play with his hair. He was Misalsel Bisaro. And he's also called Nazir Echav. And he's also called Kilkul. And when he was captured and taken down to Mitzrayim, he was taken by people that normally carry neft, but instead were carrying Avon goods, which is the way Nedarim ended. So we went straight from the story at the end of Nedarim into Kalkal, who is Yosef, who is Misalsel Basaro, who is Nazir Echav, just in case you think that all of that is coincidental. We'll keep it in mind as we go along here. L'chaim, what's that?
I'm jumping out the window. Is that good?
Okay, so we're talking about over here that he was tafus b'saro. Next case, Hare Alai l'shaleach pera. Hare is a nazir. So now, how do I know? I mean, when you say l'shaleach pera, I mean, l'shaleach, you're claiming means I will grow my hair long. It could just as easily mean I would cut off my hair, no? I mean, mimaydadin shiluach ribuyehu, because we have a pasuk, I'm assuming that you're saying, shilachayich pardes ribonim. And so we're talking about this beautiful girl, the Kala, in Shirashirim. And her lover is saying, you're obviously referring to the curls of your beautiful hair are like beautiful trees of pomegranates. I love just being surrounded by your hair. I mean, but then that's talking about shilachayich in terms of long growth of hair. And that would be why we can use shiluach in that way. Right, but, I mean, maybe it also could be referring to taking off your hair. Emamidi diabure. Maybe it's a depilatory. I don't know. I mean, it says, sholeach maim al pnei chutzot. Sholeach maim al pnei chutzot is like, throw the water out across the open field. So, I mean, how do you know that means I should grow hair, that which is part of the zeros? If it could just as well mean that it's taking off the hair over here, it's not going to help to be holding your hair, because it could mean I want to take off this hair. I mean, I want my hair to grow more. I mean, so it still isn't clear. answers the Gemara, what we're talking about is we are relying on the Gzeira Shavah. Anybody who learns Sanhedrin knows this, that the Tana Pera Pera Yolif, we have actually a Gzeira Shavah that teaches us Pera from Nazir to the Dinim of a Kohen. So Barnea takes this to a fault, you'll notice, but he wants to make sure he's never Shaleach Pera. I don't know what he had to go all the way he went, but whatever. So you're not supposed to, a Kohen is not supposed to be growing his hair long. Okay, so what does it say over there? So in Yecheskel it says, Ufera lo yishalechu. So what does that mean, Ufera lo yishalechu? The Gemara says over there, maybe it means they shouldn't grow their hair at all. No, because since it says by a nozir, kadosh ye gadel pera, and by nozir we know that it's shloshim yom, so it means that a Kohen has to get a haircut every 30 days. And it shouldn't be more than 30 days. But that means yishalechu is that he shouldn't overgrow his hair. And therefore here too, you say, shiluach, it's a lashon of l'shaleach pera, is really the guy is thinking of the pasuk in Yecheskel, in which it means overgrowing your hair. And you know what? The truth is, even your question wasn't much of a question. I mean, you were asking from the pasuk of Sholeach Mayim al Pnei Chutzot, and the only way that you understood that pasuk is that it means pouring the water out and throwing it away. I disagree. Because Sholeach Mayim al Pnei Chutzot, if you take a look at the actual meaning in context of the pasuk, you'll see that it could mean itself growth. Because take a look at the context of that pasuk. And if you look at the Targum of Rav Yosef, it's exactly how he explains it. Kad mashkin le maya le pera of the rovi. It means as people will grow fruit by providing it with much water. So then we could say that sholeach mayim means sholeach peirot, growing peirot by water apnei chutzos. In which case, even over there, it would be a reference to growth and not to wastage. And therefore, over here, if the guy is talking about his hair, he's talking about growing the hair. Now, the next case that we had is really strange. Arealite Tziporim. Now, Rabbi Meir says he's a Nazir. But the problem is that a Nazir does not bring Tziporim unless he was Matame himself. And then he has to bring, it's true, I mean, either he brings really not Tziporim. Where do we use the Lashon of Tziporim? The place we use the Lashon of Tziporim is by a Mitzora. Because Tziporim means just little birdies. They don't mean Dafka to bring the type of birds that are brought on the Mizbeach. We say that he should bring, you know, Shnei B'nei Yonah. I mean, we specify what it is he should bring, Shnei Torim or Shnei B'nei Yonah. Okay, so it's a very strange kind of language to use. What is Rabbi Meir's logic? Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish has the most incredible explanation. Reish Lakish says that people can utilize words in Lashon HaKodesh that are fundamentally poetic, and that they only are usable when you know the body of literature from which they come. And what the guy is referring to when he says Tziporim is he's talking about the Tziporim that occur in a pasuk right next to a very striking description of hair. Whoa. And where is that? It's about the story of Nebuchadnezzar. You remember Nebuchadnezzar's dream? And then he turns into this animalistic kind of thing, and the dream becomes true. And it says over there, Umina Nasha Tarid, he was driven out of human society, and he was eating the grasses, Ispa Kitorin Yohu. And then it says, Adisare Kinishrin, until his hair grew out like they were eagle feathers, v'tifrohi k'tziporim, and his nails became like the claws of birds. So then that means that you have this image, this poetic image of this monstrous like growth of air, which is like eagles, that goes hand in hand with bird-like claws. And therefore, when a guy was saying, I want to be like the birdman, he's really referring to Nebuchadnezzar, and he's talking about the birdman with his long hair. And therefore, he must be referring to Naziris. My God, was that amazing? So this is people walking along as poets, you know. So they've got this strange reference in Shakespeare, you know. Well, if you're a bucky in Shakespeare, you understand that what we are referring to is going for a walk in a forest. If the guy says, I shall be like Duncan. What does that mean? Okay. So that everybody has got in mind these kinds of literary references. Lashon HaKodesh, of course, it's the reference of anywhere in the Torah. So, okay. So he wants to be Birdman is what he's saying. That's the pshat. Well, I mean, anybody that as a kid was reading the comic book strips about Nebuchadnezzar, he knows about Birdman. And, of course, in those days, Daniel was the comic book strip. Okay? So that's what he's referring to. That must be what Rebbe Meir holds, that the person utilizes language in this kind of referential fashion. Whereas the Rabbanan say, that is not normal language. You don't think about the context in terms of what is the overall image. You use the word that you have specifically in mind. Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't think that's the machlokas. I don't think that anybody believes that a person would be matvis in such a really overdone poetic way. I would say that Rabbi Meir, who says that when you talk about Tziporim, you're talking about a Nazir, is he is saying the Chayshinan, Shema Tzipore Nazir Tomei Kibel Alav. Now, the word, the Chayshinan, is a death blow in Nazir. Because the word Chayshinan implies that it's a suffix. And as I just explained to you in the introduction to the Daf, no one puts himself into a suffix when it comes to Naziris. And therefore, the use of the Chayshinan is very strange. Doesn't Chayshinan mean we're afraid? So as the Rush explains, there are a number of places in Shas where we use the word Chayshinan that we are semech on the fact that it could easily mean this. One of the strangest places is, remember, we had in Masechet Chagiga that if a woman gets pregnant, it does not mean that she is necessarily asura, because as Shmuel says, Chayshinan, we are afraid, doesn't mean we are afraid. We rely on the fact that this woman got pregnant in a bathtub by someone having ejaculated into the bathtub. Chayshinan? You see from there, it says the Rush, that Chayshinan means you can take an issue and rely on it. And it means, therefore, even the kula. So that means that Chayshinan over here would be in that sense, since in terms of the overall structure of the language, we include these types of meanings. So the man may very well be thinking about Tzipori Nazir in the event that it was a Nazir Tame. Obviously, he's not Mekabel on himself a state of Naziris Tame, but he's Mekabel on himself a Naziris that if it would become Tame, it would mean that he would have to bring Tzipori. Well, now, wait a minute, says the Gemara. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan, listen, I mean, you agree that the idea over here is Chayshinan. You're relying on, I agree, it's not a suffix, but you're relying on the furthest extensions of what is reasonable within the language. You know, once that's true, isn't it possible that he is simply saying he wants to bring birds as a korban? And if he wants to bring birds, so then he would be chayiv, you know, shnei torim, shnei v'nei yona, both of them would be brought as a korban oila. So maybe that's what he's saying. Duma tzipori nidavaki budai alai. No, that's not the normal way. We don't talk about birds. We talk about a cane. So then he should have said, hare alai cane. If he used the word birds, I mean, he's not talking about bringing a korban of birds. Could only be referring to a nazir. Really now, isn't it much more likely that he's referring to Tziporim? Where are Tziporim brought in the Torah? by a mitzera. So maybe what he's saying is, I want to be mechayev myself to bring the tziporim. Tziporim are not torin uvnei yonah. They're just kosher birds. Any birds. So, okay, so then he's probably saying that I want to help out any of these poor mitzoraim that can't afford maybe to become tar. I'm going to bring their tziporim for them. And he's not talking about naziris at all. So where does Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Yochanan, where does he get the idea that this is a clear-cut naziris? No, it's talking about where contextually we know we're dealing with naziris. Kegon shaya nazir over lefanav. Now all that we have to do is explain how do birds relate to nazir. Okay, so Reish Lakish is claiming that birds relate to nazir in terms of the way that Rabbi Meir understands it, because birds are mentioned as Birdman in the comic book, so to speak. And over there, he's got long hair, Birdman. You know, okay. Rabbi Yochanan says that no, the relationship of Libet Rabbi Meir to the Nazir is the fact that Shayach to be Chayev in a korban of birds. But that in and of itself wouldn't have been enough. We need Shehayah Nazir Over Lefanav. And again, it's not going to help to say, but Belibi Hayta Nazirut, like we said yesterday. Because again, Belibi does not create language. Belibi just tells us that there's not a contradiction about what it is that I'm thinking. So if I have something that, yes, it suggests to me Naziris, and there's some kind of Shaila that maybe it has to do with Naziris in another way. Maybe it means I'll pay for the carbon of a Nazir, you know? Which that maybe it would help. But you can't just say that I'm thinking about it in the case where we're saying maybe V'dilma Nazir Tamei Ulefotro Min Korbanot Tav Kamar. Maybe it would mean, however, that the person is saying, oh, this poor guy is going to pay for the korbanos that he brings when he becomes tahor. I'll pay for those korbanos. So now over there, what would be the din? There ain't hachinami. And we'd have to say that we're talking about a case that the person who was walking in front of him, who was a nazir tahor and not a nazir tameh. And therefore, it doesn't make sense for us to say he is being makabo on himself to pay for the korbanos that this guy is bringing. He isn't bringing. So Tosu says, what do you mean he isn't bringing? Maybe he'll become tam and he will be bringing. And maybe the person is being makayev himself to help out this guy in the event that he becomes tame. So that, says Tosu, that it's not reasonable to say that in the event that I will be makayev myself. It's much more mashma. The person is trying to be mechayev in himself now and not taking into consideration something that might happen. Anyway, getting to the machlokas between Reish Lakish or Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, is there a practical nafkamina about the comic book approach of Reish Lakish, in which birdman can mean a guy with birds on his mind who has long hair? Or does it have to mean necessarily that there's an association with the Akravas Karbonas? Now, this is a very strange question. Didn't we just say that according to Rabbi Yochanan, we could only consider this to be binding in the event that there was a Nazir Over Lefanav? So that's the difference. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you need a Nazir Over Lefanav. And according to Reish Lakish, it seems that we were ready to rely on the language. From here, you see that apparently, even according to Reish Lakish, it was necessary for there to be a Nazir Over Lefanav. And we were asking the kasha that we asked before, even Al Libet Reish Lakish, and we answered, Kegon Shaya Nazir Over Lefanav, even according to Reish Lakish. So Taina the Rishonim. Okay, so you can't say that that's the Nafkamina. So what would be the practical Nafkamina? Kegon de Omar Tzipor Mesmuchon Laseir Alai. What if he says Beferish? Okay, listen, you Philistines who know nothing about poetry. When I'm talking about birds, I'm talking about Birdman. You know Birdman with the hair? That's what I'm talking about. So when I say I want birds, I mean, and he pulls his shirt open, he's got this big picture of the bird on his shirt. So now we know who he's talking about. So now, if you hold, according to Reish Lakish, if he says that fairish, then it's meaningful. According to Rabbi Yochanan, what kind of comic books? You can't make yourself a nazir through a comic book. You would still need a nazir to be over lefanav. Masha Enkin, according to Reish Lakish, if Lamaisa, you actually were wearing a Birdman costume, then and that would be the very practical nafkamina between people who are being mekabel nazirus in a Birdman costume or not. Amazing. Okay, listen, we need to make it more muchash, as they say. All right. Ask the Gemara, what kind of Philistines are you guys? You're telling me that people do not use poetic references, halacha. That's what you're claiming. You're even claiming that nobody would say that. And I'm asking the exact opposite. Is there anyone in his right mind who denies poetic references? I'm going to prove to you that poetic references are binding. There's somebody who's actually going to claim that we do not take seriously a reference to a poetic vision or kind of known line. Vatanya. Omer Yamin. Somebody who says, Yamin, lo chal, and something like that. What would that mean? It's a shvuah. Now you tell me why the word right is a shvuah. I mean, it must be because, since it says, Vayorem yimino smolo al hashamayim, vayishava b'chei ha'olam. So, in the context of Shvuah, when it's describing the Malach Gavriel, and what Daniel sees about this Malach, is that he lifts up his right hand and his left hand in up to the sky and swears by the life of the world. So, that's purely poetic. I mean, to say that Yamin means Shvuah because I am aware of the Daniel comic book? So apparently everybody is ready to say that, right? Says Gemara, no, that's not why. That's your assumption. I'll tell you why Yamin means Shvuah. It means Yamin Shvuah because Yamin is used as the word for Shvuah. It's not just a way of referring to the context of Shvuah. The Tanya. That is a shvua in and of itself without reference to anything. Shneamar nishba Hashem b'yamino. So that means that the yamin is the actual object of the shvua. And that's the, how do we know small? Minayin lo omer small shishvua. Also not from Gavriel and Daniel, but rather uvizroa uzo. Nishba Hashem b'yamino, uviz roa uzo. So that means that the yamin and the small, zroa uzo is a reference to small, are both utilized as the act of shvuah, not as a literary reference to shvuah, and therefore it is a valid, direct way of replacing the word shvuah with another word that means the same thing. Which brings us already, that's because we had the advantage of the entire first Mishnah in Nedarim, and we're already ready to move on to the second Mishnah, which brings us to something unique about Naziris, as will be presented by our very own Sir Richard. Now, when it comes to Naziris, as opposed to Nedarim, if a person says something that's mechayev him in Naziris, even though he 100% did not want to accept upon himself the entire structure of the Naziris, he is stuck and he becomes a Nazir anyway, which in the case of a Neder would be a problem of Ein Pi Vilibo Shavim. So let's say a guy says, I am a Nazir from Chartzanim. Now Chartzanim indeed are one of the things that it says, Bichartzanim Atzag. So one of the things that a Nazir is usher on are grape seeds. Let's pretend that we know it's grape seeds. It's actually machlokas, as we'll see. Which one is the seed and which one is the skin? We'll take the way that we normally assume that a chartzan is a seed. Or he says, I am a Nazir when it comes to zagin, skins of grapes. Or I am a Nazir about getting a haircut, you know. Or, I am a Nazir about being Metami Lamesim. It doesn't matter. In all of these cases, he is a Nazir with all of the Diktuk Nazir Salav, Because having once accepted the dinim of Naziris, he's in the state of Naziris, the Torah defines what those dinim are. And therefore, we have this major distinction between the entry into Naziris, which is a getter of Neder, and the actual dinim of the Naziris, which are more than Neder. I say more than Neder because they also will involve the Yisurin Nedarim. For instance, if somebody will be over on this Naziris, he will also be chayev because of Lo Yachil Dvaro, besides the Isser of the Naziris. So he could get Malkos for Bal Yachel, not simply for Michar Tzanim Adzak. Now, the Mishnah that says that this is an absolute acceptance of Naziris across the board is clearly not going like Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eino Chayav, you are not Chayav in Naziris unless you accepted every last aspect of the Naziris. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to speak out every last aspect. You could just say, I am a Nazir. But if you start speaking it out and you say, I am a Nazir by not eating Chartzanim, and I am a Nazir by not eating Zagim, you'd have to spell out every last aspect. You'd have to also say, and I am a Nazir not to be Mitameh, and I am a Nazir not to drink wine, and so on and so forth. And therefore, our mission that says a mention of any one of the issues of Naziris is sufficient is clearly not going. I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. V'rabbanan amri, afilu no Nazir ala b'chad minon. If all that you mentioned was one out of any of the Yisrei Nazir, you become a 100% Nazir. Now, where in the world would Rabbi Shimon get the idea that Naziris is actually either a full acceptance by you or it's not a Naziris? Says Rabbi Shimon, it's obvious. Look at the pasuk. It says, Mikol asher yaseh migefen hayayin, anything that comes from a grapevine. Now, does anything mean anything or does it not mean anything? So why does the pasuk go on to say, Mechartzanim v'adzag, from the seeds of the grape to the skin of the grape? For heaven's sakes, I know how to read. You said, Mikol asher yaseh migefen hayayin. So what's the point of all of this talking? So then what that means is that clearly, even though these are all in the grapevine, nonetheless, you would have to actually accept each one, because otherwise I would assume that they are separated. So you see, if the Torah needed to define every one of them, says Rabbi Shimon, why the heck wouldn't you need to define every one of them once you're getting into the definition of the details? Beautiful, Raya. And the Rabbanan, how do they disagree? Well, say the Rabbanan, because it says Miyayin v'shechar yazir also. How do you understand that? Miyayin v'shechar yazir, chometz yayin v'chometz shechar lo yishteh, v'chometz rat anavim lo yishteh, v'anavim lachim v'veshim lo yochel. So what does that mean? Miyayin v'shechar yazir? So apparently, even if all you said was, I am a Nazir from wine, that then you are completely a Nazir. And therefore, the same thing should be true by any other piece of Naziris. Okay, so, I mean, how does Rabbi Shimon explain that? Oh, that's to tell me a big chiddush, that even though the wine that you're drinking is a mitzvah, it's still included in drinking the Isser of drinking wine for the Nazir. Because you might have thought, if the wine is mitzvah wine, then maybe it should not be included in the Isser Nazir. What the heck is mitzvah wine? My, there isn't such a thing as mitzvah wine, is there? I mean, what are you thinking? Are you thinking Kiddush and Havdalah? Those are mitzvah wines? What make them mitzvah wines? I mean, oh, you're trying to, the language is very problematic here, because it says, Hare Mushbav Omer Alav Mehar Sinai. It actually means to say, are you claiming that you would be Mushbav Omer Mehar Sinai to make Kiddush and Havdalah on wine? Everybody knows that that's only a Darabanan. So how in the world would I have an extra pasuk to tell me the big Kiddush that even if it's a mitzvah Darabanan, Torah is not going to come to discuss wine, which nobody has thought of in terms of Kiddush V'Havdalah. So how do you explain the extra pasuk to teach me mitzvah wine? That is our next exciting episode. Bezrat Hashem.